The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go! One on three! One, two, three!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Well, y'all boys, man. Keep your hands on two. One, two,
a weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Hey, we got other stuff here, man. By the way, before I forget, I did look. So that game is over and you lose and you get the two chances. It's just so frustrating. You get the ball right back. Borgalis actually makes a field goal from 53, but it's still like it goes from a 3-point game to a 6-point game. You're like, okay, no big deal. You still got plenty of time, you know? And so you get two chances offensively, last two possessions, and ends up one's a pick, and the next two ends up sack to end the game with all the other stuff that we've been talking about all morning and wrong personnel in the game, too many players in the game, got one timeout, lack of communication, nobody knows what the other one's doing on the sideline, and Tua thinks he's got different guys in the game, and he got to count numbers, and I think we got too many guys here, and here comes another guy, and he's going, now we're too heavy, let's get these guys. I mean, you can't make all this up. And this is at the highest level of football, the NFL. This isn't a bunch of guys playing together at a park on a Sunday. But so this thing's over, and so I go, hey, I'm just curious. Because usually the Jets play the Bills. They've had some good games with them. I go, oh, boy, see the Bills. Beat them 30-10. And then I see Buffalo ran the ball 43 times for 224 yards. James Cook, 21 for 132, and Josh Allen, outside of running the football, didn't do much. Didn't have to do much.
So you're saying Thursday could be a problem?
I'm just guessing. First of all, you got a problem stopping the run, although they did a little better job in the second half. But in the first half,
everything's a problem, Joe. What isn't a problem?
No. And you didn't exactly.
If Achan scores and you win that game, it's like you still have a.
Yeah, but at least you win.
Problems. Yes, a win.
No. You still win, man. I know you can down eat. You know, you win. And look, I agree. I thought even at the end of the game, if they somehow win this thing, people are going to go, you just barely beat that Patriots team. I knew that was going to happen. But at least you're going, hey, man, you got to win. You got to win. Today it says 1-1. But. You didn't deserve to win the game. I mean, you can't get more opportunities. You get a punt return for a touchdown. Hey, Tua, take it off. I'll score on my own. I'm going to make this unbelievable play. I'll do it. You just relax. We'll probably need you later in the game. Malik Washington double spins a couple of times, runs it 74 yards for a touchdown. You're going, okay, great. There you go, man, special teams. Then very next play, they return it, a kickoff. And all the good things that happened just went right out the door. But then your defense gets a stop after you throw a pick. And you're going, hey, we still got a chance. So it's a 6-point game, but there's plenty of time. On top of that, Borgalis misses the landing zone. There's a landing zone if you're wondering why it came out. So the ball goes to the 40-yard line. I might as well have been out of bounds. Same thing as going out of bounds. So now you got a 60-yard field. You got your timeout. You got plenty of time. And you went so dysfunctional that I'm guessing even Stephen Ross wanted a breakdown, like had called him this morning, wanted a breakdown of what the hell happened on that last batch of plays. Going in and out, and then I didn't know either. I go, oh, they're going to use the last timeout, and then go, oh, no, they're not. They're going to take a 5-yard penalty. And I'm going, oh, boy. And then, you know, sooner or later, your right tackle breaks down, and, you know, he gets chased, and he runs out of bounds. On third down, he runs out of bounds. He's running. I'm going, throw it. Just find somebody near it and give somebody one-on-one a chance to make a play. Just throw it. You're going to your left. Throw it up. You can see. He decides to run out of bounds. So
that
now,
very, very frustrating.
Fourth and long, and here they come.
Yep. All you got to do is blitz that guy, by the way. Xavier Howard's right. He looks shell-shocked when they bring pressure. Like, he just has nowhere to go. He knows he can't move.
So, if you're a Tua fan, if you are a Tua fan, you're going to look at his numbers and go, hey, wasn't Tua. But I got to tell you, if you watch that game, the end of the game and that throw to Tyreek Hill, he just ran. And by the way, he's got to throw that ball early. If that's all the arm you have, you got to throw that ball earlier. Tyreek Hill, he was so far out in front. You get that ball out in front, that guy got no shot at catching him. He was out in front of him. He got no shot. Tyreek's going to catch that ball, and that guy ain't going to sniff him. He's so far away. He comes back and makes a great catch. Has to come way back. I don't know. I hate to exaggerate. Sometimes I do. What, 7-8 yards underthrown?
That one must have been 20. That thing was, see, it was horrible.
Now you exaggerate.
The cornerback was so
lost. Why is it every time I say something?
The cornerback was so lost on that play. Because even he was probably shocked that this guy throws like a, you know, freshman in college or something.
He's trying to catch up because he thinks that ball is going to be close to on the money. And he's like, all he's doing. So now Tyreek comes back and makes an adjustment, makes a nice catch to be able to run that fast and slow down.
Celebrating on the play, too. And everyone's like, and thank God he finally caught one.
But the point is, that's got to be a touchdown. Now I know you're going, you think, well, Joe, come on, man, a 47.
You'd have a quarterback that can make that throw, yes, for that kind of money.
And so I've been given Tua credit, like he knows how far he can throw the ball. He knows he's got to throw it to make sure he gets it out in front because he doesn't have the strongest arm. But he's got an arm that's allowed him to have some success. He throws this ball, and it is so underthrown. And so you end up kicking a field goal is the reason I bring this up. You get 3 instead of 7. So all this comes back to part of haunting you at the end of the game. So
what do you do here, man? The owner saw it firsthand.
Well, nothing. We got a game. We're going to be
smashed on Thursday.
We're all jumping on a plane here in a couple days.
If you get smashed on Thursday, is it time? I mean, how much longer do you want to torment your fan base here?
Before you come back home and play the Jets? That will be all bets are off, man. That could be it.
Well, let me
You're
ask
right.
You
it could be
you.
It.
Do you believe the Dolphins are the worst team in football through 2 weeks?
I don't know. How am I supposed to know?
Why? Because I think it's time to start having that conversation.
What about, they're not worried about where they are. They got problems of their own.
I don't
own.
Care what they're worried about. I'm talking about what fans are worried about. And I think it's time to start making serious considerations.
I don't know whether
they're
the
top pick,
whether one of the top 10 worst teams in football or the worst team in football.
You're
not going to try to lose.
But your draft, you have to draft a quarterback this year. So at some point, you got to start thinking about, hey, when are we going to bottom out here? And I'm not saying you got to start tanking right away, but, you know, maybe see what Quinn Ewers can
do. Since you're the guy that wanted after week one, want everybody fired, I don't know how good your word is.
The team's a mess.
It is a mess.
I think it's an absolute mess.
So let me hear what you want, Mr. Jim. What do you want to do?
What would I do?
Yeah.
Since you're on top of it,
you want to get rid of everybody. What do you do?
I would find an interim coach. I'd find one of the people over there. And
Anthony
say,
Weaver's next guy up, most likely.
And I would tell him the caveat here to you being the interim the rest of the season is the other guy starts at quarterback. Quinn Ewers.
So, you know that ain't going to happen after 3 games. They're not benching Tua. No matter how
I have
he
no
plays
idea what's going to happen. I'm just telling you, you asked what I would do.
Okay.
And I would see if one of two things, either he can play or he's terrible and you end up with the first pick. And by the way, while I was at it, I'd start moving guys like Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
This just isn't working.
All right.
And I understand it's early. I got you.
No, you don't care about early. You just want this. This is you with your.
Do you believe this is going to turn around?
No.
So what's the difference? Whether you let it linger, like, you know, ride out for five, six more weeks or do it now? What's the difference?
I think the coaching and the GM. So here's the other thing. I mean, you bring up all these just black and white.
I read Stephen Ross's letter again yesterday, and he said, we're not, the status quo is not acceptable. And I was, this is much worse than it's ever been with this regime.
This is what had me concerned when they decided to come back with everybody. Yes.
So again, like, I don't know what we're doing here. Like, we're going to wait a few weeks. Is that, would that make you happy? Whatever you want, but
I don't know. I don't know at what point they're having, I'm guessing, I'm pretty sure they're having these discussions about, this is one guy decision. There's nobody else. Tom's not in on Tom. I mean, he might bounce Tom Garfinkel into this, but at the end of the day, it's one guy making a decision. And I know this, everybody around him is telling him, make that change. What's that song? Make that change.
Man in the mirror.
Yeah. There you go. Anyway.
Someone said, by the way, we're talking about Tua a lot. The defense allowed 66 points in two games. That's not good. But we knew the defense was going to be shaky, didn't we?
I don't know. I thought they'd be better than this.
The defensive line you thought would be good.
I didn't think we were going to. Well, the defensive line's getting. See that running?
I did see it. Yes,
Colts and Patriots had a little something in common running inside the last two games.
But that was where you thought the strength would be. I knew the cornerback situation was going to be a problem, and that obviously is. Come to fruition.
Well, listen, the biggest problem right now is you can't stop the run, and then they just throw a ton of short passes yesterday to keep drives going. All right, we got to go to break.
Spent a lot of time debating the biggest problem on that team.
It's got lots of problems. It's got lots of problems, and I can't tell you, Chris Greer, I wouldn't get too comfortable if I was you over there either. You just happen to not be the number one topic today, but I hope you're not getting comfortable. I hope you're not getting comfortable either. A lot of this still got a picture of you. I know yesterday was Mike's turn because of what happened in that fourth quarter. Just anyway, hey, we got to go to break.
Who, by the way, just out of curiosity,
when are you going to stop when I say we're going to go to break?
I just have one more important question. If they do fire Chris Greer, because everyone's on here like fire Chris Greer, and I'm with you, obviously, but who makes the decisions at that point to start making the trades?
So here's the problem.
You're going to start unloading guys.
That's, you got to decide. What are you going to tell them? Hey, you're here now. But you won't be here long, but just in case. No, you can't.
Here, get us what you can, but then you're going to have to leave.
He can't be involved in any other personnel decisions from here on out.
I know, but man.
You can't do anything.
We realize that, like, after last year?
Why do you bring that up? It's too late.
I know.
It's too late.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Let's start off getting to our headlines this first hour, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Doral Hyundai, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Hyundai or at DoralHyundai.com. The Dolphins lose 33-27. After the game, Mike McDaniel had some thoughts on the delay of game penalty late. Here's what he had to say on that.
That's kind of where the frustration lies for me, is there was not it wasn't deciding that cost us, or a late play call, which that happens at times. But this was not one of those times. I got the play call in, but I'd need to do a better job supervising all of the orchestration within our multiple personnel groups. So to win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game. Honestly, and that is how you lose the game. You're moving the ball down the field. You're first and 10, and then you find yourself at second and 20. That was critical.
Wow, it's a big word for me, dog.
Is that what I sounded like when I said words mean words? Because I want to punch myself in the throat.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game, honestly. And that is how you lose the game. You're moving the ball down the field.
Uh,
What? To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game.
Somebody said Leroy being annoyed by a rambler is the Spider-Man meme. There's no way.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game.
Fair point.
It makes me not want to talk if I sound anything close to that.
It's crazy. Huh. Calls? You want to get some calls?
I mean,
Handsome Daffy, to be on the call, you got to be on the call, not be on the call.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what that was. I mean, listen, good morning to all of y'all. Man, it sucks even more knowing I'm from a football town, from Little League all the way to college. And no one wants to play for the Dolphins. Like, you can't name me a superstar who wants to play for the Dolphins. Because this organization is just so terrible. It's so mediocre. All we do is lose.
It's bad, man.
Like, we don't do anything great. Like, my brother played 10 years in the NFL. I asked him when he played for the Dolphins. He'd rather sell drugs. No one wants to play for them. And this is the reason why. Look how they ran. Like, it's straight mediocrity. But when you go to, like, Little League all the way to college, we got dogs down here. And they don't even want to play for us. Like, growing up, they want to play for the Cowboys, the Steelers. They want to play for organizations who are established because kids want to play for winners. We're just not that.
It's tough to Handsome Daffy. I'm sorry. Please tell your brother not to go sell drugs.
Man, the last time I've been this frustrated and if I tell you, you'll understand why I'm a little more patient with the Dolphins and everybody get mad at me.
Okay.
Because I grew up as a Saints fan. Now, the difference is throughout my whole childhood until I went to college, the Saints never even had a winning record. They wore bags over their heads to games.
Saw some bags yesterday.
Like, it's like... And so it's unfortunate. I've been on both sides of it, but the one thing that changed is I then played, right? And I would guess if I was still that kid walking around the streets of New Orleans, when the only conversation you could have is how bad your team sucked, that it would be very disappointing, but we all seem to rally behind it, right? Like the Aints, the paper bags, right? Like all these things
It felt like the fans came in yesterday pissed off, though. Like, they were ready to boo their ass. Leroy, the first drive, they were losing their minds. The first drive,
which is like,
They were so ready to just turn on this team, and I feel like it's going to be like that like every week this year.
But my question is this. The offense had a three and out.
Yep.
And you booed them because...
A three and out with a called back interception. They thought there was going to be an interception.
Right. So it's still a three and out. But the defense hasn't given up a punt in six quarters. Like, I would be booing them if I was a booer.
I think they all deserve boos. I think everything is boo-worthy right now. Everything. Everything is – that's just where everybody's at right now. You know, when you get to the banners by the stadium and you get to this point, I told you. I said last week, I'm like, you know, Tua was sitting there and he's like, yeah, I don't hear any of the noise. And it's like, well, you're going to hear it on Sunday. Cause this is just, we can tell, you know, when the tone of a fan base is turning, and everybody was on edge going into it. And that's the home opener,
Right. I can honestly say that you don't really, you acknowledge it, but you don't really focus on it, right? But here's what I learned a long time ago. Don't mention it. don't say anything, right? Simply because it doesn't help, right? I learned that, like, and keep in mind, I played for the Browns. We were pretty bad for a stretch there.
You were?
Right. Including the 3-13 year, my rookie year, when, you know, some of the things people are saying about Grant, they were saying about me.
Why didn't you guys try to win the game? Because to win the game, you got to win the game, not lose the game.
Because all our guys were old and they were like, just get this last year in.
Like, to win games, you have to win the game.
And keep in mind,
not lose the game.
We were getting booed my rookie year, but let's be clear. They had just gone to two consecutive AFC championship games.
Oh, yeah. You thought you were going to a good place. Yeah.
Right. So it wasn't, you know, like this. And they were still booing. And you know, it of course, you're human, right? Like, to say you don't hear it is not being very human. But then when you say, I don't pay no attention to that, it almost revs it up. So I just don't, like, I say, man, I'm just trying to win this game. I'm trying to do all these things right here. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, hear all that stuff. So,
Junior, what's Junior got to say?
Hey, listen, love the show. Thanks, first buddy. Of all, let's get Greer, let's fire McDaniel, let's get rid of him. Trade Tua, send him anywhere, get a third. Trade Tyreek.
Get a third.
Trade Chuck. Let the rookie come in. You know what I mean? The year's a wash. We're going to end up 0-3 unless something really bad happens to Buffalo. God forgive that. Don't want that to happen to Josh Allen. Other than that, this year's done. Let's rebuild. Let's do it right.
Don't worry. Nothing's happening to Josh Allen. He's made out of granite. Nothing ever happens to Josh Allen.
My question to that would be, when you say less, you know, get rid of everybody and let's start over. I understand that. I'm not arguing that point.
Mm-hmm.
But you do realize to do all that, you're starting over again, usually with a new coach,
yep,
a new young quarterback,
mm-hmm,
and you're in that cycle again.
Yeah, I think that they're fine with that right now. I think that's where it is. I will say I haven't heard one good idea to replace him, because everybody's telling me Gruden and Belichick, and I'm like, you got to be bleeping kidding me.
Right. And that being said, but here's my other point. I've been around here long enough to know that when you pray for change and you demand change and you demand new this and new that and whatever,
right,
when the new guys come in, you're not very patient either. So that's why I come from the standpoint that I come from, is not because I don't think maybe change could be better. But change is going to take more time, and usually fans don't have that time or don't want to hear that. So can you, as a fan, you can't have it both ways. So are you cool with change, or are you going to be patient to let the next regime kind of play out and build the team the way they want to or whatever, because that might take a couple of years.
Yeah, the one thing you could say, though, is that this was a little bit of a weird regime because, you know, Brian Flores left with a winning team, you know, and they kind of hit the ground running with Mike McDaniel. It wasn't really a case of a full rebuild when he was the coach.
Right, and that early success was, you know, what threw you off.
Right.
I get it, but again, anytime you have change, right? It very rarely, that was kind of an anomaly, to be honest with you. Very rarely when you have change, unless you've had some success,
mm-hmm,
then, you know, it's going to be tough. For example, when Andy Reid went to Kansas City, they had a good team. So, you know, like, so how are we going to, are you going to be patient to go through that process of, you know, because usually when you change regimes, you change a lot of players, you change the system, you change the way in which you play. So to go from, for example, to go from a Mike McDaniel to a Dan Campbell, how long is that going to take? Because you're talking about changing. That's pretty much changing the way you do business.
No, I agree. Listen, there was a time where Dan Campbell was crying on the podium in Detroit. There was, I mean, the Dolphins waxed the Lions Mike McDaniel's first year.
Yeah.
You know? But
yep.
On the road, I think. So I'm with you. I get you. But I just think that this whole thing feels like it's, you know, it's been the Tua Mike McDaniel era. And I don't know, man. I kind of felt like there was a little snippiness. There was some passive aggressive stuff happened after that game yesterday that you could just feel with bad teams. You knew that this was going to be a sensitive season as it was. And it already feels like it's getting to them because, like, I'm sure they're thinking to themselves, and I'm sure you could sit here and be like, hey, we were a Devon Achane step away from this being a much different conversation today. But the problem is, you know, it's like the old give an inch, take a mile. The Dolphins have taken so many miles of people's beliefs. They're not giving you inches anymore. Like, sorry, like that. Nobody wants to hear that they were a toe away from being 1-1. You've lost that with them. And
you are what you are. I don't care about any of that. Like, you are what you are, regardless of what the circumstances are. You, at the end of the year, you can't go back and say we were a toe away from this or a toe away. Nobody cares.
You are what you are.
The only people care about is what your record is at the end of the year.
Right.
All right. So from that standpoint, I guess I'm a little more patient than most, although I will say this, yikes.
Yeah, you know what's coming, right? Though, dude. Like, the damage,
like,
is done.
I can't. As a person on the outside looking in, there's only so much I can say before it becomes overwhelming, even for me, right? Like, and it's getting to that point, because the thing about bad situations, it's always something else. So your offense plays a little bit better. They move the ball. I see some, you know, deeper balls being thrown. I see balls being thrown outside, deeper, like, you know, take care of what I told you before, taking care, exploiting a couple of guys on the field.
Right.
They did that. They ran the ball okay.
Yeah, they did, like, that. But then also,
defense can't stop a nosebleed.
They can't stop a nosebleed. But then even Tua's bomb to Tyreek was the most uninspiring bomb of all time. It was like, okay, it hung up there. Like yeah, just lingered, and then thank God Tyreek came down with it. And then the one that he missed him wide ass open, and Tyreek's like, "Come on, bro! Like that wasn't missing 2 years ago,
right?"
And he's done that now twice. He sailed it on him, and that's annoying, man. But it's okay, because don't forget, Leroy. Don't forget this.
Don't
to win games, don't. You have to win the game, not lose the game.
Like someone said, Leroy's just waiting until week four. Listen, I may be waiting to I'll be maybe waiting for week four, but I went outside and collected some firewood. so it's not like a situation where I'm sitting and I got a heater inside and I'm like, we'll be all right. I just flip a switch, right? This is a situation where I got to do it manually. So I'm collecting some firewood. I got the long matches, right? Like, this is like, it's building, and they earned it. Like, I can't, as much as I want to sympathize with the situation, right? And as much as I've been in this situation and understand, you know, patience. Like, I wish the Browns had been more patient with Bill Belichick, right? I lived through that, right? We knew we were good. We just were in a crappy situation with the team moving. We knew all this, but they still, because Bill Belichick was, well, you know, Bill Belichick, right? It's one of those things that Bill Belichick's annoying unless he's winning, right? But
I've always found him annoying, even when he was winning.
I get where everybody's coming from. I come from a little bit of a different place, but I still got to be honest about the situation. That's all I'm saying. Like, I still have to be honest about what is happening and what this team is going through and how this team is. And so while I'm being patient, I'm not being stupid. I'm going to get me some firewood because I don't want to be cold. Right?
And the bad taste in our mouth continues.
You don't worry. You'll be able to have a nice fat steak in bye week or somewhere around that. So, I think I'm frustrated even watching the game, like, just to see
you were frustrated.
That game, to see that game get away, like, and then you sit and stare at the TV and go, how, mm-hmm. right, to things that just don't happen in football all that often. Back-to-back, return for touchdown?
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
UMUF, Saturday night, prime time.
Hey, game day. Even though
college
it's terrible.
Game day in town. I mean, this
even
is...
though we're terrible.
Well, you know how good the Hurricanes are when game day comes out and their opponent is as terrible as the Gators are. So that's a testament to the Miami Hurricanes.
I watched the Dolphins game, and then this morning I got up and said I have to deal with this UMUF this whole week. It's not a good time for me, fellas.
Well, the Dolphins are in prime time this week as well. It's not just the Hurricanes and Gators. The Miami Dolphins will make their season debut in prime time this Thursday night.
And both the teams I'm associated with are not going to be the favorites, I'll say that much.
They're definitely not. The Dolphins are 12-point underdogs, and your Florida Gators are 8.5-point underdogs. I think the Dolphins line is too low. I think the Canes line is too low. I think that should be of them could be bigger. Neither one of them has me wanting to bet on the underdog yet.
No,
like I don't know how many points it would take for me to. I mean, I really believe, first of all, let me get this out of the way. On a Monday, Sports Talk is sponsored by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I think Thursday night is going to be embarrassing for the Dolphins. That's my feel. Like, I think it's legitimately going to be embarrassing. Yesterday wasn't embarrassing. There were embarrassing moments, and you don't want to be 0-2, but it wasn't embarrassing like opening game against Indianapolis was.
The score wasn't. Look, I'll show you my notes I took during the game. I have a frowny face.
Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. There were embarrassing moments. Here's what I would say, though. In all honesty, and I think Mike McDaniel is short for the job. I'm not certain, you know, if they do get embarrassed on Thursday, I'm not certain he lasts beyond the third game of the season. But the team did not quit on him yesterday. And no. I felt like week one, they weren't with him. This one, they went down two touchdowns, minus two extra points. But they went down two touchdowns, and that would have been a perfect opportunity for the team to crumple, to absolutely disappear, rats off a ship, as Tobin likes to say, and just move on with their lives. They didn't do that. They fought back. There were a couple times where you thought they won this game. That, you know, even starting slow, Tua got it turned around. God bless Devon Achane, by the way. Goodness but gracious. Special teams got it turned around until they didn't. I mean, there were times where you were like, the Dolphins are going to win this game after it seemed like they were on the road to the same kind of game that they had in Indianapolis. So they didn't quit on Mike McDaniel. I did see something. I think I sent it to you guys. Kyle Long talking about it, just saying this team has talent. They are unprepared, and they're not going to win with the current regime.
Unprepared. That two-minute process, getting a play in, taking delay of games, just penalties, 10 penalties in a game. Huh. We talked about it last week, and I started thinking about it. We said it hasn't been fixed. It hasn't been fixed in 4 years.
Yeah.
Mike McDaniel cannot decide on a play when the game's on the line, and we did, I can go, if I really want to go back and look, This was the same thing that happened in 2022. His first year as a head coach, and we kind of play caller and kind of gave him a pass. We haven't fixed our two-minute process in 4 years. And then, you know what? I'm going to tell you something, too. I went and hate-watched the Atlanta-Minnesota game.
Mm.
Young coach, young quarterbacks. There's no chance that they can be better than us because it's Tua. He's a vet. Mike McDaniel's 4 years in. You know what I noticed? There was a time when Michael Penix couldn't get the call, and he snapped. He was holding his hands over his ears, and he started cussing out. And the commentators even said, I think Michael Penix said he wants to call faster. Another guy was like, no, I think he said more than that. Yeah. He cussed out the sideline, like, let's get it going. J.J. McCarthy, who I told y'all wasn't that good, but y'all want to talk about the fourth quarter. We'll get to that sometime.
Threw a couple dimes.
J.J. McCarthy dropped the ball or did something stupid. He got to the sideline. Kevin O'Connell lit his ass up. Tua and McDaniel, they might be too nice of people or friends. There is no in-game accountability on what's going on here. Tua should have went crazy. Bro, we're driving to win the game down by six, and you don't know what you want to call? Call a play, and let's get this thing going, man. Tua didn't play great, but that process really got to me. Yes, I was hot about that at the end of the game.
Tua mentioned it after the game, too, in words that you don't normally hear him use, which was like, hey, a little slow on the uptake here, and I'm going to have a conversation. A strongly worded letter is going to be sent to it was like Kirk Cousins on that show, Quarterbacks, that I watch on Netflix. We send voice memos. I'm going to have to send a strongly worded voice memo to Coach McDaniel about getting the play in on time.
Coach, you don't have a playlist? Third and long, second and short, second and medium. Like, I coach and I had a playlist and I'm not
there's
in a
too many
coach.
Options. It's not that he doesn't. There's too much going on. There's too many personnel packages. It's all cute when it's working. It's burdensome when it's not. Remember when the Dolphins had three people who got the play call before it went to the quarterback? It was a game of telephone. Super cute if that works. But it's really burdensome if it doesn't. And that's what we're seeing with this McDaniel, you know, inability to get the play in time, getting the right personnel people on the field in time. Like, it just, it's a cluster bleep.
And you know what else? And this, now I'm just mad. We finally forced two punts after six quarters and we run one back. What is going on? We have a punt returner, but we can't even force a punt, Mr. Weaver. I can't say everybody's like, oh, yeah, Kyle Long was like, it's not Tua problem. It's a McDaniel problem. Listen, bro, Julian Hill was wide the hell open when he threw that interception. And he was moving that way. You didn't see that man standing over there with his hand in the air? Like, it was a lot going on, but nobody was playing well.
It's why I take issue with a lot of fans yesterday going after Tua, going after Mike McDaniel. It's everything. It's everything. Mm-hmm. And if you can't accept that, if you continue to ignore the obvious, Carter, that last drive was the Dolphins in the McDaniel Greer era summed up into one drive. The offensive line with two backups crumbling on that last play when you need protection, allow Tua to hopefully try to make something happen. The right side of the line with two backups in week two crumbles and Tua gets sacked. And Mike McDaniel, Larry Borum, and Keon Smith.
71. 71's name is what?
I think that's Keon
that's
Smith.
That's Keon Smith. Man,
Keon Smith. Listen, Keon, you got to see me. If I see you at Publix, you got to see me.
Have you seen Keon Smith? Be careful. Well, be careful what you wish for.
If you see me and Hawk at Publix, you got to see me.
Crowder, he wouldn't be starting, probably not on a team anywhere. Like, it just... That's what happens. That's what happens when you don't invest into the offensive line. And then Mike McDaniel, the one thing that can't happen, which is miscommunication, undisciplined plays, guys not knowing what to do in that situation. That's the one thing that couldn't happen. And it's happening in the most important part of the game. Like, it's literally a microcosm of their entire tenure here on one drive. Everything falling apart.
Beyond that, the coach looks rattled. I'm doing the visual game here where, oh, because they're losing, he looks rattled. But he does. He doesn't look like he's in control. Tua doesn't look close to the way he looked in 2023. I mean, close. Even when he's, you know, that pass to Waddle, the first touchdown, excellent throw. That was perfect. But those are too few and far between. He just doesn't look like himself. The drives where he needs to win the game or get them into position to tie the game, he just still has an inability to do that. This is where he should be excelling at that. And again, offensive line isn't helping him out. I get that. Like, there's a lot at play. Bottom line is, there's not just one thing to fix here. This seems to be an entire team problem from the coaching staff on down. They have to play flawless football to get by a bad team. That's they have to play flawless football to get by a bad team. Imagine what they're going to have to do Thursday night to stay in the game. Just to stay in the game.
Yep. He sailed one on Tyreek early. That's when Tyreek snapped on the sideline.
Yep.
And then the underthrow to Tyreek. If he gets that ball out there, Tyreek catches it in stride, he scores 7. That was a field goal. So now just I'm doing math. Now you're trying to get a field goal to win the game and not a touchdown on the buffled drive and mismanagement of the 2 minute. Like, it, to your point, Hawk, it has to be perfect football, but everybody's accountable for this. That defensive front, bro, Ramondre, what's his name?
Ramondre.
He is Eric Dickerson. He's catching balls out the backfield.
It was crazy.
He's running straight down the middle for 6 yards a pop. That was frustrating. I was listening to it on radio, and I'm like, it can't be as bad as Joe Rose and Cephalo's making it sound. So I had to go back and watch it because I had it recorded. We're not playing good football, period. I know the score, whatever you want to say. We're 0-2. That is not NFL football. So one of y'all just said, the guys have to know who's in the huddle. That's Pop Warner. What people are in the huddle is Pop Warner. Bro, I don't know if I've been this frustrated watching a football game, and I watched it recorded, so now I'm mad listening, and I'm mad watching.
But we should have known, like, I hate to do this, but, like, we knew this is what was coming.
They didn't look like this. They have not, in Mike McDaniel's tenure and Tua's tenure, looked like this when McDaniel and Tua are out there. They haven't.
I get what you're saying, Hawk, and I'm not disagreeing with you. Mike McDaniel looking rattled, Tua not looking comfortable under center. Those things for sure weren't common. But and maybe that's part of the nerves. Maybe that's part of the fact that yesterday, Crowder, you texted us, this drive is for multiple people's livelihood, their jobs. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's part of it. But Hawk, the roster itself, the fact that Chris Greer has constantly, while GM, relied on guys who are injury prone, and the fact that he refuses to go find depth at the most important parts of the roster, offensive and defensive line. I mean, the script in the NFL to win is out on every great team, and Chris Greer does not take any sort of action on the most important parts of the field, especially when you have an injury prone quarterback. And then the secondary all season, we're talking about major, major flaws in roster construction there. And you're seeing it come to fruition. You're relying on a pass rush, which ultimately every team knows, hey, keep our quarterback upright, we're going to be good. We're going to be okay. You can't stop the run. You didn't fill Calais Campbell properly. Like, it's just all around, everything is crumbling for this team. It's unfortunate.
Can't argue it. But again, I would submit to you, which is what Chris Greer believed, which is a healthy Tua and a reinvigorated Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Devon Achane. He's the only guy who looks great to me, Devon Achane. Like, he gets the ball in his hands. He's going to make something happen. Like, we thought the front seven was going to be a stalwart line that teams would have difficult running on, or They'd be getting to the quarterback a lot and putting some pressure on him, alleviating the secondary problems, which we knew existed. Like, none of it's panned out. And I do think there's something to be said. Play that Kyle Long sound. Do you have that? That's Kyle Long. Was it on CBS? I think it was on CBS. This is Kyle Long saying, hey, there's this just seems to be coming from Mike McDaniel and an issue with, and man, I mean, you can't help but listen to him post game and wonder what players are thinking when he talks the way that he talks.
He said, to win the game, you have to win. You can't win when you lose.
That's what? Right.
That's what you're going to tell me after you just bumbled the 2 minute.
In fairness, though, Denzel Washington said that in an Oscar speech once, and you stood up and applauded.
I can't believe I'm going to die on this hill because I am the only person who's going to defend Mike McDaniel. That clip that everybody's cutting, just those like that two-sentence clip, sounds ridiculous. But when you listen to everything he's saying with the context, I kind of agree what he's saying. And it sounds funny, but he wasn't wrong. Like, it's cutesy stuff.
Explain it to me, Solana.
I'll play the Kyle Long.
I didn't hear the whole clip.
I'll play Kyle Long.
Play Kyle Long, because I think this is... And Kyle Long, by the way, friend of the program, if you recall, during Super Bowl week, he went and got beignets with Josh Appel for us at the mall.
And over the stadium, it says, fire Mike McDaniel. And I just want to make sure that if you are going to point fingers in South Florida, don't do it at Tua. Because what I saw today was a quarterback who was going through his process. And he looked like the guy we've seen have success previously. But in terms of leadership, in terms of organization,
yeah,
top-down respect, leadership, I'm not in the building. But what I can glean from watching this team on film and every Sunday now, they're just not ready to win. And while they have good players on their team, they're not a good team.
I mean, that final sentence to me is kind of on the money. While they have good players on this team, they're not a good team. So what is the, if you had to be the doctor who diagnoses all the results, the test results that you're looking at, you've got good players, but they're not a good team. What exactly do you do with that? What's the diagnosis?
You have great ingredients and not a good chef. We could say it in a lot of different ways, Hawk.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's back on Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
And I do believe he's a smart kid. Now the nerd boy thing gets to me hearing Rex say it. I do believe he's a smart football mind. There's some people that shouldn't lead teams.
Or certain teams need a certain type of leader. I'm not saying that he could never be successful as a head coach. I'm having a tough time getting to the place that with this particular roster construct, him having success as a head coach.
But we found out, you know, Chris Greer has been open about this, that Mike McDaniel had a say in the types of players that Chris Greer went out and signed. It's interesting. It's interesting that they built a team basically to maximize his strengths as a head coach. And he was this star whisperer, this superstar whisperer in the locker room. And I get it, man. Like, things kind of domino, snowball a little bit, and he's lost control. But, like, these are the guys he wanted.
They chose a path which was nice, friendly, and collaborative. I remember the press conference Chris Greer gave when they let Brian Flores go. And I'm not rewriting history. I was not a fan of Brian Flores, and I prefer a collaborative approach to things anyway. But they were very clear. Brian Flores was abrasive, not just to players, but to the front office. And they wanted specifically a nice guy who would be collaborative. And that's who they hired. It just hasn't worked. But this was a direct decision. Like, they said to themselves, we want to do the opposite. We want to have the opposite of what we have with Brian Flores. We want a nice guy who collaborates, who's not going to scream and yell in the halls.
Mm-hmm.
And this, it didn't work. But this was a choice.
And Huck, it's argumentative. I was gonna say it's not argumentative. It's very. Name the Brian Flores that's successful.
Well, there's a bunch. I mean, Brian Flores is successful in Minnesota as a defensive coordinator.
Name the McDaniels that are successful. The pleasant, don't yell, happy to see you guy.
I think it can exist. I think Tony Dungy certainly, I mean, Super Bowl champions, he was never going to get in someone's face and scream, and he was never going to, I mean, Brian Flores, we know, had issues with the general manager and therefore the owner, and he, you know, like they were looking for more of the Tony Dungy type, someone who could coach so well and do it without being abrasive. They didn't like what the facility felt like when Brian Flores was there. It was obvious. They told you.
Yeah. And I think Flores is an extreme, but we talked about the Belichicks and even like Andy Reid. Andy Reid is not no, hey, let's go out to come to my house for Thanksgiving dinner. He's no guy like that. Go do your damn job. We're going to win some games and get a ring and we'll be good to go.
I don't understand the take today. I got this a lot in my mentions, like, oh, we all owe Brian Flores a big apology in Miami.
No.
And I'm not saying everything went down properly there. Like, you know, I understand there's a lawsuit at play and whatever. I don't understand that take. Like, Brian Flores makes this team better?
Get on the boat with Brady. Flo, get on the boat.
Like, what?
Get on the boat with Brady.
Might have been a misstep.
Guy missed the playoffs.
I'm not excusing that behavior. Get on the boat.
Or Hawk, don't win 5 games. Don't beat the Bengals in 2019. Right. I mean, we had 93 different players that season. You're cutting anybody who's making a good play. You're benching them. Stop winning games, guy. What are you doing? We could have Joe Burrow.
All right, we have a lot to get through today. Will Manson's going to join.
Today's not a good argument. Hey, Flo, did you know Bijan Robinson's about to get this football?
Right.
Because he's about to get this football.
You take a meeting with Brady.
He makes bad decisions sometimes.
He makes bad decisions.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.